Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone in the other box. T-Bone, how are you doing, my friend?
Not too shabby. The PGA Tour season is over, but we still got some big... Oh!
Yeah, just had a little sneeze for the viewership out there. That's why you guys subscribe. To the
I'm coughing now.
NyQuil. We're off to a great start here.
NyQuil, cut the check, baby.
Yeah.
but no, we're good. We're rocking and rolling.
Hey, good to hear that. We took a week off last week, but we are back. The PGA Tour has officially come to an end. Victor Hovland comes out on top as the FedEx Cup champion, player of the year. He's not the player of the year. FedEx Cup champion. Player of the year is a little bit later here soon, I think. So, yeah, really exciting stuff, though. It's weird to think that this PGA Tour season has come to an end. We kicked off the podcast, rebooted the podcast at the beginning of the year. Now we are at the end of the season, and we will be capped off with a Ryder Cup here in about a month, a little less than a month. So, big decisions, but we'll preview all this. Before we get started here, follow us on our social media channels at 300 Par Pod. That is number 300 Par Pod, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars. Click that subscribe button. We appreciate everybody who is currently subscribed and looking to grow the YouTube and the podcast channel. So, Tiba, this episode is also brought to you by DrinkABuddy. DrinkABuddy.com. Use promo code 300. Use promo code 300. You get 10% off your order. Because, look, I'm not going to lie. I needed some Drinking Buddy this week. I was in Austin all week. That's why we didn't have it. Doing NBA things, whatever, flex, soft flex, don't care. But you take Drinking Buddy with your last drink of the night. It's not the hangover cure. There's no silver bullet. But it's going to take the edge off. Come make you feel maybe not as sluggish. Because we don't miss tea times here at 300 Par Pod. And I got to tell you, on Saturday, T-Bone, I really pushed that to the edge on that. You know, it happens. Fun times. We still made it to that 7:37 tee time. It was awesome. Hey, I actually got to play with Randall. Do what?
With who?
I got to play with our next sponsor, Chip Goff. Randall Pulver, okay. Chip Goff Co. Yeah, man.
I thought you said Brandle for a second.
Brandle? Nah, man, I ain't a cuck. Gosh, can you imagine playing? What would it be like to play golf with Brandle Chamblee, you think?
Oh, I think it'd be great. I think
he now I know you're lying.
No, I've listened to him on podcasts. The dude is, I mean, I think that guy is as knowledgeable as it gets with the game of golf. Hella stories, I think it would be highly entertaining. I know he's not the most likable person, but I think he'd be great to play with.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think I would still really enjoy it. I always appreciate his opinion on Golf Central, whatnot, because he's really informed. Like, he does make at least an educated argument, unlike some other clowns on other sports talk radio shows in the morning looking at you, ESPN and Fox Sports. Like, those are just clowns on that show, outside of the professional athletes, because they actually know what they're talking about. But Brandle's at least informed. So I think it'll be fun. He just has really come out hot against Liv, right? That's where, like, he dug his heels in. That was it. Really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But
I think I respect his takes. They're unique, but he also, you know, they can be a little funky. Like, I think the Liv thing was, he said it was like the worst day of his life or worst day in golf history or something like that. So anyways,
yeah,
he's unique. I think he's got an interesting take and I respect him to an extent.
To an extent, absolutely. So, yeah, I did not play with Brandle. I played with Randall, Chip Goff Co., using the gloves, use code 300 par for 10% off your order. We had a really good time down in Austin playing. So, go support our sponsors at drinkabuddy.com and Chip Goff. That's Chip with 2 P's, C-H-I-P-P, chipgoffco.com. T-Bone. How was it being in the state of Florida for the very first time in your life? Just for the record, my wife was very concerned about this. She, like, didn't believe you. How was your trip?
Yeah, I'm approaching 30, first time in Florida. Didn't get to play any golf, but Yeah, the I see why people go. It's pretty close, easy to get to, great beaches. So it all makes sense why people try make it out there. So highly recommend. If you guys haven't been to Florida, I highly recommend.
Which is an outrageous claim. I feel like pretty much most people have been to the state of Florida, at least those who are golfers. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, it was pretty embarrassing, but I think I gotta embrace it at this point. But
Hey, you own it. You're doing great.
appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we got a lot to catch up to. The brief recap from 2 weeks ago, Victor Hovland's coming in on a heater. He runs away with it on Sunday. Rather, he doesn't run away with it. He tracks down the leaders on Sunday at the BMW, shooting a 61. Just pretty remarkable. Lowest, they were bragging, lowest score in FedEx Cup playoff history, which it is very, very impressive. He enters come Eastlake, 2 shots behind Scottie Scheffler, I believe. Is that right? 2 shots? And then it is just gone after day one. I remember when they came out with the FedEx Cup new format, because they had that really funky point system, right? Nobody knew who was winning. It was all literally shot by shot, mathematics. Then they came back and said, hey, we're going to do this tiered starting system. I thought it was like a clown show. It didn't make sense to me. I thought it was outrageous. It's been interesting, though, I will say. It really does set the people far behind, like too far behind, I think. But look, Colin Morikawa comes out hot at first. Scottie
Can
Scheffler
we
doesn't play his
let
best. Yeah.
let's since we're here, I've got some thoughts about the format.
Oh, let's hear it.
So yeah, I think in the past it was like NASCAR points. It was like fuck 10,000 whatever points. If they make this putt here, it's whatever. And what was weird is you would have sometimes you'd have like two tournament winners to end the year. You'd have the winner of the FedEx Cup, and then you'd have the winner of the FedEx Cup Championship. And it was an awkward two champion type of thing, but really one. And then on the other hand, you had the year I'll never forget is Billy Horschel just coming out of nowhere and winning, and people were like, how did that happen? So we talked about it on our past episodes. Now it's they're starting at a certain score to par. Scotty started at 10, then it goes down to 8, 7, so forth. And I didn't know how I felt about it, but it finally made sense of how these guys are being ranked. And then it's technically going to have, or it's going to only have one champion. Winner of the tournament wins it all. So I think it was a good change. It's easy to follow, but I don't know why it just, I don't know if it was this year in particular, just didn't have the juice for me. I didn't really care. And I think part of it was Victor had a 6-shot lead going into Sunday, and I wasn't really watching. I was kind of checking the scoreboard to see if someone was going to chase him. But I mean, Xander shot what, 62
Right.
and lost by 5. So I think it's a good change, but you're gonna have these years where people just get blown out, and it's I mean that happens in majors and it's disappointing, but I've thought about it, and this isn't really that unique of a take, but I think it's got to be match play. I think the FedEx Cup Championship has got to be match play. The reason I'm kind of up in the air about it is because I feel like match play doesn't necessarily gauge the best golfer. It's all about matchups and kind of how you play in that given match. But if they keep calling it playoffs and you think about playoffs in sports, it's a team that's hot and who their matchup is. So a lot of people have said match play is good. I've kind of gone back and forth, but I think I'm settled on the fact that the FedEx Cup needs to be a match play tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a really interesting point because this is supposed to be the season-long event. Right? Like this is your FedEx Cup, biggest sponsor on the line. You want your big names there. You won 3 or 4 tournaments this season. You should be in consideration for the FedEx Cup champion. Which I think that's why I was even getting confused earlier. The player of the year versus FedEx Cup champion. Like, that's it's really interesting. I don't disagree with the match play take, though. I would be more inclined to agree with you, actually, that it should be match play. But in the same sense, to play devil's advocate against myself and to you, it doesn't determine who the best player is all season long, because guys can just get hot. Like, you can literally find something on the range. These guys are so good. They can find something on the range 5 minutes before they tee off, and then they're shooting 65, 64. And you're knocking out Scotty Scheffler or Victor Hovland or, like, whoever it may be. And they've been clearly better all season long. So it's I don't envy the tour in this respect. There is no perfect format. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. This year, granted, I was busy a lot of the weekend just with personal stuff going on. It didn't have the juice for me. It didn't have that, all right, here we go, like, who's going to win? And even Xander Schauffele, what did he shoot, like 63 on Sunday or something, or 64? Something ridiculous. Yeah. Him and Victor Hovland would have shot 59 best ball. Like, that is amazing. Those guys were firing birdies all over the place, left and right, da-da-da-da. Victor Hovland still won, and he won convincingly. Yeah.
Granted, I do think this, I mean, this could be really exciting if it's close. I think back to, you know, even when Tiger won it, that was awesome. We've had Rory in a playoff before that was really entertaining to watch, but it's going to be like also like those years when just, you know, Brian Harman wins a major by a lot. There's just going to be off years, but there is part of me that wonders, you know, this is a tournament that's being led up to throughout the whole year, and you kind of want it to end on a bang. And this was just kind of like, all right. But, you know, I think another thing too is the money, like playing for insane money, kind of going back to the live thing. It doesn't really do it for me. Like, I don't care that it's more money. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but it doesn't do a lot for me overall.
Yeah, I agree with you, because if you're playing the money angle, then what's the point of LIV, right? Yeah. Like, that was the whole point. Oh, he's going to win $10 million for winning the FedEx Cup. Now Victor Hovland walks away with $18 million. What's your first purchase going to be? He was like, I'm getting chips with Chipotle this time.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I think he said that I live in Stillwater, Oklahoma still. It's like, that goes a long way. So.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's a really precarious situation that they're in. And I think from a year in and year out, from consistency standpoint, this is probably the best format in hindsight. But I mean, looking at the leaderboard here, to correct myself earlier, Xander shot 62 on Sunday. Victor shot 63. Let's say Victor shoots 66, which is still a really good round. I mean, Xander's right there. The problem is, I think, is that those two guys were head and shoulders above everybody else. You have Wyndham Clark, who finished third, but he was 9 shots back of the leaderboard. And then Rory McIlroy, again, sneaky top 5 finish, back toward top 5 for Rory, but he was 14 under, 13 back of Victor Hovland. Like, it's not creating that wow factor for me.
Yeah.
And I love Eastlake. I think East Lake is actually a fantastic venue. You know, it's the course that Bobby Jones grew up playing at in Atlanta. East Lake has done a phenomenal job of revamping and breathing life into that community. They've actually done a lot of case studies around it. It's very interesting. If you want to look into it yourself. Do your own research there. But it's really remarkable how East Lake has revitalized that community. And it's good because it's not a full tournament, full field. Like, that area, that course doesn't hold a full PGA Tour tournament well, but it's also so daggum hot. Like, I don't know. The tour is it's a very hard situation to be in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think they're actually redoing the course after this year.
Are they? I missed that.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Another thing
to
watch.
Heck, dude, they even can't even get the nines right. They keep switching back and forth between the nines. Like, when Jim Furyk won, that's when 9 was 18, that par 3. Heck, even when I worked for the tour, we were out there on, I think it was, 2015. yeah, nine was the finishing hole. And now it's the opposite. Yep. I think that they did the right thing by switching it back personally. Like the par five, you mentioned the playoff a few years back with Rory. That does create a bit more excitement than like, hey, who's the best four iron hitter on the field that day. So, I mean, look, big shouts and big congrats to Victor Hovland. He got hot at the right time. Yeah. He had a good year and then won Memorial and then won two amazing playoff year. Events. Yeah. I mean,
did you see?
It was great.
I think one of the more impressive things from him this year is obviously this and the majors, but he did not miss a cut. 23 starts, no missed cuts. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. That's showing some consistency right there. But I think he just grew up a ton. He had competed in so many majors over the past years and wasn't, in my opinion, taken too seriously and would fall off pretty quick. This year, Masters, PGA Championship, he was right up there a lot of the way, and it felt kind of different. And, you know, a lot of his game has been around his weakness of chipping, and I think he's obviously turned that around as well. So I think it's a big grown-up year for Victor, and he's going to be scary for the Ryder Cup and majors to come. So well done from Vic.
I agree, man. He really got also, it together.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he was on your likable list, most likable golfers list.
Yes, he was. I think he was my number one.
Wow. Yeah, no, I think that's a good pick. And it's getting more likable with the wins. I'll admit it.
I mean, he's just like this the whole time. He just looks high as a kite, enjoying life.
Yeah. You know, he loves like screamo, like death metal music.
Really?
There's a funny video of him talking about it. But yeah, big death metal screamo type of music.
Man, I was not expecting that. Actually, I actually have a good story about Victor Hovland. This is not my story. So this is from a secondhand person. So I want to take that with a, if I miss a few details wrong here or there, I apologize. But one of my classmates, we'll call him Big Tone. Big Tone was out playing Memorial Park. Just I think it was on a Friday or Saturday, like kind of late in the day, type tee time. He was just going by himself. So he got paired up with three other guys. And then all of a sudden he realizes that these guys are playing all the way back and that they hit the ball really far. Long story short, he comes to find out he's playing with Matthew Wolf and Victor Hovland out at Memorial Park. He just got paired up with those two guys. And apparently they were visiting like one of their buddies who lives here in Houston. And until Big Tone was like, hey, like y'all are pretty good. What do y'all do for a living? And they were like, we play on the PGA Tour.
Wow.
Yeah. He said that.
That's wild.
He's like, I thought they had really funky swings and like, I don't really know who they were. But yeah, he just randomly got paired with Victor Hovland and Matthew Wolf down in Houston at Memorial Park.
That's insane. Wow. That makes me want to go play out there. Just walk
out. Yeah, right. You never know who you're going to be paired with.
I'm in a Houston Golfers Facebook group, and some dude got paired with Arian Foster at Gus Wortham, like on a weekday morning. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh, also, now that you told that story, I just remembered, I did watch a few minutes of Victor on Sunday. I just started laughing, thinking about your take with Matt Wolf.
I really want to find that audio clip. It's buried somewhere deep in the archives, but it is there. And I will admit, I was wrong. Yeah. I was wrong.
Well, he could be the greatest. He could be – actually, no, this isn't even going to be true either. I was going to joke and say he could be the greatest Oklahoma State live golfer of all time, but that Hispanic dude has won like three tournaments.
I mean, you could make the argument for Charles Howell III too, being better on
Man, that's kind of, he took that one on the chin. There's not much you can do about it.
So for the new listenership out there, I made the prediction. This was back in 2020, somewhere around there, that Matthew Wolf was going to be the best golfer to ever come out of the history of Oklahoma State. And he was the first to win, I might add. Out of all that crop of players, that class was Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa, and a few other guys. He was the first to win out of any of them. But man, he is nowhere to be seen, and I could not have been more wrong on that.
I'll give you some credit. Let's go back a little bit. He He almost won the U.S. Open. First to win. He was a stud at Oklahoma State. And then even I remember during COVID, there was like that first tournament that they played out at Seminole. And it was Rory, DJ versus Ricky and Matthew Wolf. And I was like,
sounds
this
about
guy's
right.
Like, this guy's got some game, like the next up and coming kind of dude. And it had that vibe that he was going to kind of be it. And then he just, honestly, I think he missed college and playing on a team and not having to be a grown up, I guess. And here we are.
Yeah, let me see if I can find this. Yeah, it was Matthew Wolf, Ricky Fowler versus DJ and Rory.
Yeah.
How long ago does that seem?
Yeah. They were carrying their own bags.
Yeah, it was like watching a college golf tournament.
Who would have thought two out of those four not on the PGA Tour anymore?
Yeah, that was way before Liv, way before the world. The world seemed even a lot simpler during that time, during COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a backwards way. But, yep, couldn't have been more wrong on that. So, again, congratulations to Victor Hovland. He deserved it. Played his ass off. And he's going to be a problem come the Ryder Cup. I'll tell you that. He is going to be an absolute problem. I don't know what Luke Donald and whatnot is going to do. I haven't necessarily looked into the Ryder Cup team, like who exactly is going to be on there. Been a bit more focused on the Team USA side since Brooks Koepka fell out of the top six. So now he would technically have to be a captain's pick under Zach Johnson. But, you know, the Ryder Cup is 3 weeks away now, 3 or 4 weeks away. It's going to be here before we know it. That's going to be the talk of the town, is how the U.S. is going to handle Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Jon Rahm, and the rest of the Europeans.
This might actually be a good segue to golf gossip because I've got two storylines.
Let's hear it.
So the first one, Brooks Koepka, there's a picture posted on social media by his wife, Jenna, and it was Brooks eating pizza on a American flag paper plate. And it said something along the lines of like USA, USA, or something like that. So it had people starting to murmur a bit on if Brooks is going to be a captain's pick. So thought that was interesting. Definitely curious to see how that plays out. But the other golf gossip this week isn't as fun of a story. And this feels kind of TMZ-ish to be bringing up this story, but hey, we are golf journalists and it's our duty to report the golf news. Am I right? So,
right.
Anyways, this past weekend, Eric Compton is a veteran PGA Tour player, hasn't been on tour in a few years, and he was arrested on Saturday night for allegedly throwing his wife into a wall at their home in Miami, and was taken to jail and then released on bond early Saturday morning. But interesting story about Eric Compton. He's had two heart transplants and kind of had that feel-good story back in the day of someone being able to make it on the PGA Tour with serious medical issues and like a heart transplant. So it was kind of sad to see, you know, that was what he was known for and that this story is coming out now. But I think these stories are always really surprising for golfers because this stuff just never happens. But sounds like you never know what's going on. But, you know, I can't imagine being a veteran PGA Tour player not having been able to play for a while and what that does to personal life. But definitely was shocked to see that at the storyline. But again, just doing my job as a golf journalist. So
that's right. Here are the facts. Eric Compton was diagnosed with, I'm not even going to pronounce, a viral cardiomyopathy as a child and has undergone two heart transplants, one in 1992 He was 12 years old, and another in 2008. Been a journeyman through, I'm getting this from golfweek.usa.com. Journeyman through professional golf, Compton has wins on the Korn Ferry, Canadian, and former NGA Hooters Tour, but never broke through on the PGA Tour. So I guess he's never held his official PGA Tour card, but he's played in plenty of PGA Tour events. He played in two this year. He finished T29 at Duet.
Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah. Georgia, hey, there you go. Add him to the list of why Georgia is one of the better programs. But yeah, he played in the Putzacana Championship and then T69 at the Charles Schwab Challenge. So he made the cuts that he played in this year. Yeah, so he was arrested and taken to jail by Miami-Dade police in a domestic dispute last weekend. So, yep, you nailed it. What was going on there? You hate to see it, especially with how good of a – that was such a great feel-good story, right? Heart transplant. Yeah. How many times – anytime he's in the mix – I think he's been in the mix once or twice on the PGA Tour, you know, trying to get that card. There's that storyline. I just can envision on Golf Channel of, like, you know, him communicating with the heart transplant donor and that family. And, you know, there's – it's a great story. Yeah. And I just – I hate to see this. It really makes me sad, actually. Don't like that.
Yeah.
But maybe he can bounce back, which I honestly, I would say probably not. How old is he now? He's a little bit on the older side of things. He's got to be
probably approaching 40s-ish. Yeah, I'd say 40, he's over 40.
He's 43.
Yeah.
If he hasn't necessarily broken through on the PGA Tour by now, probably not going to happen, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
What would we say a few weeks ago? The home life, when that's in a good, better spot, golf tends to follow suit. I don't necessarily see golf following suit at this point.
Rest up for the senior tour, buddy.
That's right. Stay out of trouble until the senior tour. Still got 7 years to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, like I said, we're here to report the news, give our tidbits here and there, and then we move on. Scene. All right, T-Bone, what else you got? What else did you see in the golf world this week?
I got a little personal stuff to share.
Yeah,
so let's hear it. This week, me and my crew will be heading up to, I don't even know what town it is or city, but we're going to play Arcadia Bluffs in northern Michigan for the 4th annual Big Kahuna Tournament. So is my annual golf trip. We're pretty pumped about it. And this year we have 20 dudes going. So, and we're all staying in the same house. So we'll see how that goes. But
20 dudes in the same house?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's going to burn down or get evicted or something. But,
yep.
So a few months ago, I filled out a application for a sweepstakes, and it was for Mizzen and Main, the shirt company, make awesome dress shirts, golf pillows, all that stuff. It was for Mizzen and Main to outfit your golf trip. And I sent in an application, typed up a little excerpt about it. And a few weeks ago, I got a email, congrats, you've won. And then I didn't think it was real. And next thing I know, they're telling me to fill out shirt sizes for the team. And so I filled out all of our shirt sizes. Week later, I start getting tracking numbers. And I got a little typed up note that I was one of the selections out of 1,000 entries, and I got shirts for the team, hats, koozies, bag tags, and they gave us a flag too. So it's now the Mizzen and Main Bro-Am is what they called it. So that was pretty freaking cool. Gonna be a great start to the golf trip. And then I'm trying to pull some strings, see if we can get a little promo code here on the podcast, but TBD on that. But anyways, going to play Arcadia Bluffs and a few other courses up in northern Michigan. Get out of the heat, get some nice lush green grass, maybe a sweater vest. Gonna be nice.
Dude, you nailed it. Getting out of the heat. It's been like, it was like 109 yesterday. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We need some rain or something. But can we say now that Mizzen and Main is a official sponsor of 300 Part Pod? Can we say that?
Yeah, maybe unofficial, pending
Okay.
them responding to me,
So they are
but
the
yeah.
official sponsor of the Big Kahuna, or now the Mizzen and Main Bro-Am. You're selling out,
Yes.
T-Bone.
Yes.
But that's all
Yep.
right. That's
Yeah.
pretty awesome. So Mizzen and
Yeah.
Main, if you would like to be the unofficial official sponsor of 300 Part Pod, we would gladly take you. We are looking for an apparel brand. We do have our friends over at Roback. They've been on the show actually, so go check out Roback. Go, that's a great episode. Got to talk with all the founders there. So we could be Roback and Mizzen and Main. I think there's room for both.
Yeah, I got a big closet.
Well, let's also be real. Like, if we want to be, I'm all about transparency. Nobody's cut us a check yet, so we can do whatever we want, really.
Flexible. We got some
We're
wiggle room.
flexible. That's true. We do have
Yeah.
some agreements, with Jigga Buddy and Chip Goff. So, go check them out. Big supporters, big fans of their stuff. Seriously, though, the gloves, awesome. Chip Goff, Jigga Buddy, it's necessary. So use those promo codes. Link in the description below. But hey, we're all for some apparel here. And for the fashion guide, this works out great for you.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be nice. So I'll be posting everything on the 300 par Instagram. So stay tuned and yeah, be on the lookout for some fresh fits later this week.
Man, well, I'm super jealous, super excited for you. That sounds like a phenomenal time. There's nothing like a good boys' golf trip. 20 people too. I mean, that is just logistically very hard. Is that a Stanley? You got a Stanley?
I was drinking it low for a reason,
At that.
but
Hey,
yeah.
that's why you go subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can see T-Bone drink his Stanley, unlike everybody else who just has Yetis like most people here. So
Yeah, I was worried I was going to get outed at some point for that, but it is what it is. Gotta stay hydrated in this heat.
absolutely. That is for dadgum sure. So, T-Bone, I think that's all I got for this episode. Again, congratulations to Victor Hovland. PGA Tour is officially a wrap. I guess, side note, we didn't necessarily touch on, a little disappointed in Scottie Scheffler, I would say. Just look, I think consistently on a week in and week out basis, he was the best player on tour all year round. He did not win a major though. But his ball striking, dude, was second to none. Ball striking is phenomenal. If he can just figure out the rock a little bit, roll the rock, I mean, he's gonna be right there. But super excited to watch him play in the Ryder Cup.
For sure. I don't know how much time we have, but it is, I am a little scared. I am a little scared. I mean, this has been going on for kind of the whole season,
Yeah.
and it just feels like pressure's mounting. You just don't want pressure on the flat stick for this long. I'm a little scared. He's gonna
No,
be
you
fine. He
don't.
had like one of the best ball striking seasons of all time, but
Yeah.
let's figure this out. I think he needs to get, he just needs some time off. Fortunately, can't do that right now, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
I agree. Yeah, when he made that triple on Thursday on 15 at East Lake, I was like, uh-oh, here we go. Because that brought everybody back. It got off to a decent start. Victor was kind of, was obviously hot off to a hard start, a hot start as well. And yeah, it was just a little disappointing. Ended up shooting 73 on Sunday. Just, I don't know if he doesn't like East Lake. He ran into that problem last year with
Yeah.
Rory. His eye might not fit that course well. But look, he's 20 something years old, still young. He's already a major championship winner. One player of the year. He'll be fine. I'm not too worried about Scotty.
For sure.
Well, T-Bone, I think that wraps it up. That's all I got for this week. Thank you everybody for tuning in to this episode. Let us know in the comments below. Or send us an email. All of our contact information is listed below of what your thoughts were on East Lake, the Tour Championship, as well as any other thoughts from the season or anything that we might have missed. So again, go to JiggaBuddy.com, use promo code 3UNDER for 10% off your order. and go to Chip Golf Co. for some awesome gloves. Again, right here, T-Bone, try to get you a glove before you're gone. Use promo code 3UNDERPAR. Also, if you live in the Hill Country area, Austin, San Antonio, go check out our friends at Waterloo Turf. Can't recommend turfing your yard enough. It is fantastic, low maintenance. They do a phenomenal job. Tell Lance that 3UNDERPAR sent you. T-Bone, tell us about the Paisley House.
Paisley House, all your interior design needs, furniture, outdoor furniture, head to Paisley House Houston. Say what's up to Joni and tell them 3UNDER sent you.
We're big fans of Paisley House, big fans of Joni, great supporters of 3UNDERPAR Pod. T-Bone, final thoughts to you.
I am very excited for my golf trip. Our team is 3-0. This is the fourth year, so pressure's mounting to defend the title. But I'm just excited. We're going to be looking good in our business main year. So stay tuned. We'll keep you posted on the Instagram account, and looking forward to the weekend.
All right, go follow 3UNDERPAR Pod, the number 3UNDERPAR Pod on Instagram to go check out the Big Kahuna Championship, aka the Mizzen and Main Bro-Am. Was that your idea to come up with Bro-Am? It's kind of douchey.
No, it was theirs. It was theirs.
Who's theirs?
Mizzen and Main's.
Oh, it was theirs. Oh, okay. I thought it was one of the boys from the trip.
No. Mizzen and Main Bro-Am. They sent me a huge flag.
Never mind, it's not douchey then. So thank you, Mizzen and Main. We love for you all to come on. I mean, I get it, right? Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is getting off the rails here. That's all I got. T-Bone, thanks for a great episode. Have fun this weekend. Ryder Cup talk coming down the pipe. Everybody stay safe over Labor Day weekend. We'll let you know if an episode is dropping next week. So I'm Scotty T for T-Bone. And remember,
little white balls on.